Our next speaker is Diane Bush, also from UC Berkeley, also with the Labor Occupational Health Program, also many years' experience as an occupational environmental health educator. And Diane's main emphasis has been working with young workers, which, as we know, is also a vulnerable population. And the title of her paper is Integrating Job Health and Safety as a Critical Life Skill in High School Programs.
Okay, and just to show you that old dogs can learn new tricks, at the OHIP presentation that I went to an hour ago, they made everyone stand up and stretch right about this time. So stand up and stretch, because I want to talk to an awake audience. Thank you. No, it's the time of day. Great, thank you. So I'm going to talk today about some of the lessons that have been learned from three different projects in three different states. So I wanted to start out by acknowledging all my partners, some of whom are here. So Robin Dewey and I worked on this out of California. Helen Moss and Laura Kinsel, and Laurel is here from the University of Oregon Labor Education and Research Center, although now Laurel has changed employers and worked somewhere else at the Oregon State University, Susan McQuaid and Wendy Horde from NICOSH and New York State United Teachers, and then our three project officers or colleagues at NIOSH, Rebecca Guerin, Andrea Oaken, and Carol Stevenson. So I'm kind of reporting in a very short amount of time about work that was done by three different projects. And I have no relationships to disclose. And just a quick overview of the landscape. So 18.1 million workers under the age of 24. About 13% of those are under the age of 20, so the youngest workers. We know that workers under age 25 are twice as likely to be injured on the job as workers age 25 and up. And then, meanwhile, every year we have 3.3 million students graduating from high school, and during that time, most of them not hearing very much at all or maybe nothing about workplace issues, rights on the job. There are no national requirements about that. So NIOSH has been, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, has been focusing efforts on young workers since the 1990s, or at least that's what I'm aware of, targeting employers, parents, educators, enforcement strategies, so the whole group of strategies and folks who need to be involved. And so one piece of this has been a commitment to make sure that young people also understand what their rights are and have the skills that they need to play a role in both protecting themselves but in participating in creating safe workplaces. So this is kind of what our projects were charged with, this NIOSH goal that all high school age students learn the basic life skills to prevent injury and illness on the job in the face of there's no real requirements for that. And what we're talking about here are not the very site-specific health and safety training that people still need to get from their employers when they get there, but foundational skills so that they, when they go into the workplace, they have expectations already. So they, and this is, you know, very basic, that they can recognize hazards and understand that there are hazards in every job, that they understand how those hazards can and should be addressed by the employer, as well as their own responsibilities, that they understand what their rights are, what are worker rights and responsibilities, and that they have some problem-solving skills, that they know what to do if they actually see problems on the job. So, and NIOSH has a tool for teaching this. They've had a curriculum up on their website called Youth at Work Talking Safety since 2005, I think, which is developed from activities that many of us in the room have worked on, both here at LOHP, also in Massachusetts. The Department of Public Health and Education Development Center have been longtime partners of ours. And NIOSH has recently revamped that curriculum with this new look and redesign. And so, and this is a tool that we know is effective. It teaches these basic skills that I just talked about, uses highly participatory activities, games, small group activities, et cetera. And it includes activities for teaching youth with cognitive and or learning disabilities. We worked with our own transition program in California in developing some of those initial activities. So it's there's a host of activities that can be used in a variety of programs. Back when NIOSH was ready to put this up on the website, they conducted an evaluation with career technical education programs across 10 different states and found it to be an effective tool for at least increasing knowledge. That's about as far as the evaluation went. And as I said, it's up on the website and has been there for with state-specific versions for all 50 states. And it's been used by thousands of teachers and honed many times across the country. At one time, we were in a partnership with the Education Development Center in Massachusetts for about 10 years. And we had master trainers in 18 states training teachers on using this. So we have the tools, and we have the goal of reaching high school students. And so what NIOSH was interested in is they basically, in 2010 and 2011, provided some funding through contracts to three different organizations in three states and said, go see what you can do. We want this to be institutionalized. We want, you know what the goal is. See what you can do in your state. So each of these projects was hosted by an organization. But they were embedded in existing efforts by state teams in each of those states. So both Oregon and New York have had state coalitions that involve their teachers' unions, state departments of education, their OSHA programs, labor standards enforcement folks, parent organizations, sometimes employer organizations. So they've had partnerships since 2007. We've had one going since 1997. So this effort was embedded in existing efforts. And the three projects met periodically by phone and once in person to kind of share our strategies and what we were doing. And we also met regularly with our NIOSH project officers. So it was a very iterative process with NIOSH as well, which I'll talk about at the end. So the potential school-based pathways that we explored, I've noted we each kind of tried different things depending on who our existing partners were and what they said. You know, they said, go for it, let's try this. So all of us did work in transition programs where there's, as you heard, you know, from New Jersey, there's a real interest from those educators in, and they're putting young people in the workplace who are particularly vulnerable, so they really see the need. Some of us worked with career technical education programs or vocational education programs, work experience programs, which are programs where kids get academic credit for doing paid work and usually have some classroom-based training that they do as well. Other kinds of academic programs that are connected to career pathways. In California, we have something right now called Linked Learning, but there are also these partnership academies. If you've been around for a while, it's sort of a school-to-career type approach. Health education classes, NIOSH was particularly interested in those. Family and consumer science classes at the eighth grade level. Educational programs within the juvenile justice system, and then other alternative high schools or education centers. So that those are kind of, over these 3 years, different things that we've all tried. And so what I'm going to do is just share a couple of the successes in each of the states, and then more collectively kind of what our lessons learned were. So in California, I mean, we knew this already, but we found, of course, that once we get out there doing teacher training, the training is very well received. Teachers use the curriculum, and we've had the greatest success in the programs where we've worked the longest, our work experience educators. We're institutionalized into their teacher training conference every year, and that's the one place those teachers go for training. So we're institutionalized there. And also with our transition program and workability, although that's a little more sporadic, but every now and then they say, go train all of our staff statewide. So we've done that a couple of different times, not within this project period, but we continue to do work with them throughout this period. And then we also did more work in the career technical education world in during this project period, and were well received. Trained several hundred teachers during that time. One of the things that I knew that the teacher training is successful, but what we were really looking for is how do you actually get this in there so that people will keep doing it? And because there's all this interest in our state around this linked learning or career pathway programs, I worked hard to try to make connections in that arena where there was not, they're talking about career pathways, they're putting kids into internships and all sorts of programs, they're talking about career readiness, and they really have nothing explicit about health and safety in any of their language. So I was very excited to get into this one document, this verbiage that actually not only talks about health and safety, but also talks about communication and the responsibilities of employers, because it's often hard to get that language in as well. The language is there. Now there's more work to be done in that area, but we also have been doing similar work with the National Academy Foundation, which is in the same work, Career Partnership Academies, and they're very open to integrating. They do have some health and safety language, but it's pretty limited, so we're going to work with them on that. And then lots of our partners have gotten better at sharing information about the curriculum, et cetera. In Oregon, again, you'll see repeated themes, a lot of enthusiasm from teachers and professionals in the field about training, even including groups like the American Society of Safety Engineers. We talked about the Oregon Youth Authority, the ACTE is their Career Technical Education Professional Organization, other locally based youth service programs, and alternative high schools. So a lot of enthusiasm. If you're out there and you have the funding and the staff to get out there and talk to people and offer training, they're ready for it. It was very clear in Oregon that this was more successful because of their existing statewide partnership and some of the other activities that the partnership was able to do. They have an ongoing video contest. They do a youth day at their governor's occupational safety and health youth health and safety conference, and participating in the Women in the Trades Career Fair High School Day. But all of those activities actually gave a lot more visibility to the effort to institutionalize the curriculum. So it was an important building on each other, both of those activities. In New York, they again found the transition program to be one of the most receptive areas, and there's a new program in New York State called the Career Development and Occupational Studies Credential for special education students that they get when they graduate from high school, or they hope to get. And they were able to integrate health and safety into that that credential, although, again, so it's not actually in the language of the credential, but it's seen to address some of the fundamental skills that are called out in that credential, and the program required that all of the teachers in this program in all 10 regions participated in a training on the curriculum and doing health and safety training, and the union was key to making that happen. Likewise, they also looked, one of the other main pathways they looked at was the family and consumer science for eighth grade. With the high school, one of the big issues is that high school teachers feel already very overwhelmed. And some of the eighth grade family and consumer science classes are really looking at building their sort of career readiness component. So it looks like that could be a potential home. They're on the younger side, but it does mean that maybe you might get to them before they enter the workplace, and I'll talk in a minute about how this has led into some other efforts that NIOSH is doing. So I've alluded to some of these challenges already, that teachers feel very overwhelmed and it's hard to fit it in. Health and safety is always seen as an add-on. And when you do go to talk to, even when you go and you get talk to people about how important it is for every student to have these, even if they're not in a work-based learning program, they always say, well, go talk to the work-based learning people, because that's where it's going to fit. So it's not only an add-on when you get there, but it's you always get shunted off into that arena. The other piece is that it's not the soft part of OSH skills that we really promote, especially among young workers. These problem-solving, critical thinking skills are not very well articulated. I think we're getting better at articulating that, but they're not really considered health and safety skills. So when you say health and safety, the people think, you know, oh, they need to have these very technical skills. So I think there's a messaging there that can help promote this further. And then we'll also say, since you're over there in the category of the work-based learning programs, then they have the sense, well, that's really the employer's response. You know, they're going to take care of that. And we know that that's not necessarily the case, and that even if the employers do teach health and safety skills, it's going to be a lot more effective if they have sort of a foundation to pin that to. And then finally, it's challenging often to reach the key decision makers. You might find somebody good to talk to, but you don't have the person who can actually make a decision. So some of our key lessons or key findings, one is continuing to look at identifying the relevant educational standards. When do I talk about Common Core? Right now. So how many people have heard of Common Core? So many people will say, we can't do this, it's not in the Common Core. Meanwhile, the Common Core is actually theoretically college and career readiness standards. So I've had some folks in the work-based learning world say, you know, no, Common Core is something we can hang our hat on. And it's also something that really pushes critical thinking and problem-solving skills, which is also what we're talking about. So I think that's an area that we want to do some more work to figure out how to align it with Common Core and use that language. And part of that is the second point there, that we need to promote these skills as critical thinking and problem-solving skills. I don't know if folks have heard the 21st century student outcomes or skills. That's another theoretically coming from employers and what they say they want kids to know. And again, what they're asking for are critical thinkers. They want thinking people who can come in and solve problems. So we need to frame health and safety within those skills. And even though we want all high school students to get these skills, that high school programs that are geared towards putting kids into the workplace in some way or talking about career pathways, they are still clearly going to be the most receptive and the easiest to get in, and there's still a lot of work to do even there. So I think we need to keep working in that arena. Other things that we found, I mean, some of this is obvious from any work that you do in the field, but really working at multiple levels is critical. You can't just go to the Department of Education. You can't just talk to a great teacher. You can't just go to the teacher's organization. You really have to do all of them, and then you get one success, and then you have to go back and tell the other people about that success. So it's kind of resource intensive and so very challenging to sort of keep all the threads going at the same time. And tied to that, the developing and nurturing long-term relationships is really important, because sometimes, like in New York, the opportunity to get health and safety integrated into this credential is because that was happening right then, and they had the connections, and they were able to take advantage of that opportunity. Identifying a champion is really important, and sometimes that can be a teacher. I know that in Oregon that one of the reasons they had a lot of success in the career technical education world was because one of the teachers was used the curriculum all the time, but was also in the leadership in that professional organization. Need to wrap it up. And then finally, providing the curriculum in a format that's really usable. It's great that it's online, but teachers don't teach from it online, and now it's all in color, so it's really expensive to print out. So that could use a little bit more exploration. NIOSH, this has fed into some of the work that NIOSH has been doing. Over these last several years, we all participated in helping update the Talking Safety curriculum, in looking at how to align the curriculum with national standards. And they're right now developing a competency-based assessment that students will be able to take after they go through the training. And that has really grown out of all of us saying teachers want a certificate. They want something that their students can put into their portfolio. So they're working with Family and Consumer Science 8th grade level classes in Florida to test that out. So it's been great, I think, having these projects in the field while NIOSH is also doing some of its own work. And I think I've touched on the recommendations already. Keep working on getting it integrated into the language, get it aligned with the Common Core standards, and really use that to promote it. Find funding sources so we can keep getting out there and doing more training and talking to folks, and then exploring ways to either online, but also how to use the curriculum in a way that doesn't require printing it out. And we'll do questions at the end. You mean the Oregon, New York, and
yeah,
because NIOSH gave contracts to, they started with Oregon, and I think that actually came out of some, because there were a number of states that had existing state teams, and we were in a lot of conversations with NIOSH, and they were looking for recommendations of states that had active state teams. And so I don't know if I can say it was because I recommended Oregon and New York. I mean, they have active state teams. Yeah. So these were contracts. They weren't grants. They were contracts where NIOSH was really kind of trying to learn from these projects as they did their own initiative at the same time. They have the curriculum is up online and is adapted for all the states.